It's Marketplace Tech for January 12th. I'm Ben Johnson in New York. AT&T is doing something it hasn't in years, offering unlimited data plans. There is, of course, a catch. Starting today, they're available for customers who sign up for wireless and television service from DirecTV, the satellite company AT&T bought last year for $49 billion. Marketplace's Mark Garrison breaks it down.
An unlimited data plan is a much harder thing to find these days, which is why AT&T thinks it's tasty enough bait to get people to buy more stuff. Brett Sappington directs research at Parks Associates.
A significant number of AT&T wireless customers don't have DirecTV, and a significant percentage of DirecTV customers don't have AT&T wireless.
Wall Street loves cross-selling because when it's done right, it's an efficient way to wring more money out of customers, such as the 36 million homes that have AT&T Wireless or DirecTV, but not both. Getting AT&T customers to choose DirecTV over cable may be a challenge because installation and switching hassles come into play. Amanda Lotz at University of Michigan says the new deal may appeal more to DirecTV customers.
It does provide a compelling offer to take a look at AT&T, but I also expect that Verizon will be coming back with some sort of opportunity to keep those subscribers.
Don't expect to go back to the days when unlimited data plans were widespread. We're using more data than ever, and companies want us to pay accordingly. In New York, I'm Mark Garrison for Marketplace.
One of the scariest ideas about hacking attacks is that they could potentially bring down whole parts of a country's infrastructure. Well, at the end of last month, hundreds of thousands of people lost power in an area of conflict, Ukraine. And researchers are now saying the cause was a hacking attack on several power providers in that country. Hackers apparently spoofed an email address of the Ukrainian parliament, then sent Microsoft Office files to deliver some kind of malware through email. Stephen Cobb, security researcher at ESET, has been following this story. Stephen, this was phishing where someone clicks on something in an email and that starts the problem?
Fairly classic attack, fairly straightforward way of getting malicious code into somebody's system.
What was the malware able to do to these power company computer systems once it got in?
The malware gave the attackers control. The malware itself didn't carry out the power or didn't execute the power outage or cut the switch. This kind of Trojan code, once it's on there, can be used to do all kinds of things with the system that it has compromised.
What does all of this tell us about the vulnerability of infrastructure companies to hacking more generally?
I think it's certainly a reminder. I won't say wake-up call, because the wake-up call on infrastructure attacks has been sounded a long time ago. And one would like to think that in the United States, power companies here have taken their systems beyond the point where this could happen. But I wouldn't, you know, necessarily bet on it. The power of a phishing attack is still very strong. It only takes one person to click on the wrong thing, and I wouldn't say it couldn't work in this country.
Is there a potential business impact here for infrastructure companies going forward?
People who work at power companies are, I would say, painfully aware of the threat level and have been working very hard in recent years to improve their security. So I don't think there's a CISO at an energy company in the United States that isn't aware that this is the nightmare scenario. There is a compliance exposure for companies here if they were to let something like this happen.
Stephen Cobb is security researcher at ESET. Stephen, thank you very much.
You're welcome, Ben.
This week in Detroit, the city's annual auto show is getting underway. Last week, many car makers revealed deals regarding software at the Consumer Electronics Show. Ford will now work with your Amazon Echo, for instance. Detroit's going to be all about the hardware. That includes out-there concept cars and models coming to a showroom floor near you. Tim Stevens is editor-in-chief of CNET's Roadshow.
Just about everybody has some strong angle of tech right now, but Ford is still definitely a leader. General Motors is going to be making an interesting step this year by unveiling their Bolt, the B-O-L-T, that is, which is their new electric car, just $30,000 and 200 miles of range, which is really beating Tesla to that point of getting under $30,000 for an EV, and that should be a really important car this year.
Are there other things that you're looking at that would hint at what consumers might be able to actually get in their cars in the coming year or 2 years?
Absolutely. One of those cars is going to be the Volvo S90, the first car on the road with standard semi-autonomous functionality. So you can go on the highway, take your hands off the wheel up to 80 miles an hour, it'll steer itself and things like that.
Tim Stevens, he is editor-in-chief of CNET's Roadshow. Tim, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Gearheads can check out the Detroit Auto Show when it opens its doors to the general public this Saturday. Already, we've seen more interesting news around car companies getting into the nuances of self-driving cars. You knew this was coming, right? Tesla announced it was making autopilot functionality unavailable on residential streets after people posted videos of themselves using Tesla's autopilot functions irresponsibly, as in sitting in the back seat while the car was doing stuff. Bad video ideas might be less common on snowy roads, but Ford has announced how it will use high-tech mapping memory in its self-driving cars to navigate on snowy streets around Michigan. And today is perhaps President Obama's last chance to say this.
Members of Congress, my fellow Americans.
Those words are expected to open his final State of the Union address tonight. Unexpected, streaming video of the address courtesy of Amazon. In recent years, you could get a stream of the event on YouTube and at whitehouse.gov, but so too now comes a stream on the major e-commerce site's video service. That's according to the government's Office of Digital Strategy. Why? Meet your audience where they already are, as they say. I'm Ben Johnson, and that's Tech. This is APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.